If you would this morning, turn with me once again to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. More new faces showing up all the time. Wonderful. Welcome. Revelation, chapter 8. We'll begin reading at verse 1, we'll read through verse 6. Revelation chapter 8, beginning of verse 1. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel came and stood at the altar, holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense and the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Again, Lord, we ask your help as we come to your word this morning. We thank you for giving us your word. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry of your Spirit to take your word and bury it deep within the hearts and lives of your people, revealing again the Lord Jesus Christ, taking the things of Christ and making them known to us. And we will give you all praise, and we'll give you all glory, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the seven seals, we've worked our way through. We come this morning to the seventh seal. And I've said that at the very beginning that the seven seals act kind of as a table of contents. It's telling us what's coming. Remember, when the Lamb came to the throne and received the scroll from the hand of the one sitting upon the throne, the right hand, and all of heaven broke out into praise. And there were seven seals in this scroll. And this scroll is the revelation of redemptive history. It's what's about to take place in God redeeming through Christ a people to himself. And we've looked at each one of those seals being broken. We kind of painted the picture. We have the scroll. We have the seven seals down. Nothing can take place. Nothing happens until the scroll is opened. The last seal is broken. We told you again, and we've talked about how the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Today there's just all kinds of teachings out there, different views, different teachings. I've said many times, whatever view you take with the book of Revelation, you can be comfortable because there'll be a lot of people who disagree with you. But again, we try to look and focus upon the book of Revelation being a revelation of Jesus Christ, which simply means this. It means salvation for a group of people. But it also means judgment for a group of people. It means salvation for those who by God's grace have come to be placed in Christ. And they have some concept of who Jesus Christ is and who they are in Christ, who we are in Christ, purchased, no longer our own. But then there's those outside of Christ who live their lives as if all of life revolves around them. We are the center of our horizons. Salvation for one, judgment for the other. When we looked at the sixth seal a few weeks ago, we saw this concept of a great earthquake. And we saw the dismantling of this present earth and this present heaven. But we went through several scriptures of showing how in the Old Testament scriptures, when God wanted to speak of judgment coming upon a nation, judgment coming upon a people, He would speak of this dismantling language. Earthquakes, mountains being cast into the sea, sun turning black, moon turning red, stars falling from the sky. And it was simply revealing God's judgment upon a people. Babylon language was used to describe God's judgment upon Babylon. But the earth still was there. It wasn't just the dissolving. It wasn't the end of the universe. We saw again that in Revelation chapter 6, we saw in the first four seals the idea of conquest and the four riders, conquest and war and famine and death, the instruments that we said that the reigning Lord Jesus Christ uses to bring about judgments upon people, judgment upon nations. Those who oppose His lordship, His reign, those who oppose His church. And they're warning signals that ultimately there is a judgment coming. There's a judgment day coming when those who have rejected Christ will stand. Will stand. Give an account, but there's no account to give. They will stand, as we will see, in utter silence. So we've had the first six seals of this scroll. The first four, conquest, war, famine, and death, the four horsemen and their riders. The fifth seal was the altar scene where you had the slain martyrs under the altar crying out to the Lord, "How long? Till you vindicate your name, till you glorify your name." The sixth seal was that sign of judgment, what will happen eventually, what the Lord will do in vindicating His name. Now, this morning we come to the seventh seal. After we've had this interlude in chapter 7, and last week we looked at the interlude in chapter 7, which simply means and sets forth the security of the church. Those who have been marked, those who have received the seal of God, those who have been called together to form the church, the body of Christ in the Lord Jesus Christ, either upon earth fighting, waging the holy war, running their race, fighting the good fight, living life, realizing that our purpose is to set forth Jesus Christ and the gospel and the truth. No matter what happens, no matter what the consequences, we are called to be faithful witnesses to Christ. And then also we saw last week a picture of the church, the saints in glory, worshiping around the throne, singing. And if you look in chapter 7, verse 12, saying amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And all the beings of heaven follow them in their worship. So after the sixth seal, after we've had this picture of judgment, the earth, the old creation being dismantled, when we come to this seventh seal, we might expect to see the new creation, the new order. What's going to follow? We might expect to hear the songs of praise that we'll be singing for all eternity. But that's not what we find in these verses that we read this morning. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. How surprising! How shocking! If you can imagine, if you were the first audience receiving this and hearing this letter read, if you were part of one of those seven churches to whom the letter is written, first recipients, and they're having it read, and you've heard all the breaking of the six seals, and all of a sudden you come to the seventh seal, and the seventh seal is broken, and silence. I mean, you've heard of all the singing, and you've heard of all the praising. But now there's silence. So far, we've been told about the heavenly court. It's been revealed that there's four living creatures who do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Chapter 4, verse 8. There's 24 elders that constantly are confessing God's worthiness to receive glory and honor and power. Chapter 4, 11. When the Lamb received the scroll, a new song of praise broke out, an ever-expanding circle of worshipers in chapter 5. We have the lament of the martyrs in chapter 6. How long, O Lord, how long until you vindicate us? How long before you reveal who is reigning and who is in control? And then last week we saw the song of salvation that's sung day and night was added to this glorious praise of heaven. But now, there's silence. Zechariah 2:13 says, "Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for He is aroused from His holy habitation." Go back with me to Zephaniah. If you go to Zechariah and just keep going backwards, you'll bump into Zephaniah after you get through Haggai. Zephaniah is speaking of God's judgment upon Judah, the southern kingdom. If you look at verse 4, it's only three chapters long. In chapter 1, verse 4, Zephaniah, again, God speaking through Zephaniah, says, "So I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the names of the idolatrous priests along with the priests." Judgment is coming upon Jerusalem. Verse 7, "Be silent before the Lord, for the day of the Lord is near, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated His guests. Then it will come about on that day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes, the king's son, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments. And I will punish on that day all who leap on the temple's threshold, who fill the house with their loud, with their Lord, with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, there will be the sound of a cry from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of Mortar," which is a district in Jerusalem. We're looking here at a prophecy of the day of the Lord, when God's judgment, as we've been looking at, is going to come upon Old Covenant Israel for their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, for their crucifixion of Christ. God is going to judge that old covenant people as he establishes now his new covenant with his church. There was silence. This silence is that silence for the enemies of God, the silence of dread. But for those who are in Christ, it's a silence of eager expectation. When you're silent, when we're at home at night and we're in our beds and the lights are out and it's dark, and we're there in silence. Is it a silence of dread? Is it a silence of knowing that you're rejecting and living your life focused upon yourself or focused upon something other than the reigning Lord Jesus Christ? In your heart of hearts, in your conscience, is there that dread? What happens if I don't wake up tonight? Or can you honestly say in the depth of your heart, in the midst of silence, there is that anticipation. There is that eager waiting. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, vindicate your holy name. Declare to all the world who is reigning and ruling. At the consummation, at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be silence for all those who have rejected him. There won't be excuses, there won't be alibis, there will be silence as the Lord executes his absolutely perfect justice. There will be silence. There was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then in verse 3, we'll come back to the angels. Verse 2 says, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." We'll come back in just a second. Well, that's really next week's message, but verse 3 says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar." So you have the seven angels who are going to be given seven trumpets. But now another angel comes and it stands before the altar. And he's holding a golden censer. And it says, "Much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne." What's that make us think of? When we think of this golden altar, we think of a golden censer, we think of the incense. We're thinking of again, in the tabernacle and in the temple, when you had the Holy of Holies and you had the Ark of the Covenant in there, which represents the presence of God. And right on the other side of the veil, you had that golden altar that the priest would go in and he would put incense on and would be offering up the prayers of the people of Israel going up before the Lord. Here we have an angel coming and he's about to answer the prayers. He's about to answer the prayers of those martyrs and those who have been persecuted and those who have been under the persecution of in that first century of the nation of Israel as they were trying to absorb the church and destroy the church. And then they combine with Rome and you have the early Roman persecution under Nero. All the our Lord promises in Matthew chapter 23:24. God is about to answer the prayers of his people. And we look at this and we know that God has always and will always hear and he will always answer the prayers of his people. In the silence, John sees this angel coming up to this altar. And he's holding a golden censer that has the prayers of the people in it. And he adds incense, much incense, to the prayer. And what a picture of our prayers as we offer them before God. And here we have an angel acting as a priest, adding this incense, this sweet savor, so that as it's burned upon this altar and as it rises up unto the Lord, it is a pleasing odor unto Him. In silence, John sees these seven angels ready to sound these seven trumpets, which will unleash the woes and the judgments that we have seen in the scroll. As he's going to answer the prayers of the saints, God has heard, and he's about to answer prayer. God hears our prayers. God answers the prayers of his people. He always hears them, and he will always answer according to his will and to his time. We're not told specifically what the content of the prayers are. We go from chapter 6 of the saints under the altar to say, Lord, vindicate your name. Reveal who you are. Reveal yourself in glory and power. The prayers of the saints were, as we saw, were not selfish, self-centered prayers. They were prayers for the glory of the reigning Lord. We can imply what the contents of the prayers were when we see the angels' next act. Whenever we look next week, when we look at the trumpets as they are being poured out, we can see and imply what the content of this prayer was. Lord, vindicate your name. Reveal your glory. So we see the angel taking the prayers of the saints, mixing in the incense, and in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hands. It's the prayer of the people. Glorify your name. The prayers of the church. How often in our prayers do we honestly say, Lord, glorify your name. Lord, reveal your glory. Lord, for your glory, enable us to remain faithful. Enable us to endure. Lord, enable us to witness to the truth of the gospel. Enable us to witness to the power of the reigning Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is enthroned right now with all power and all dominion and all rule and all authority. Lord, glorify your name. Not just give me what I want. In this situation, remove this circumstance. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there followed peals of thunder and sounds and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Judgment. At the end of the seals, at the end of the trumpets, at the end of the bowls of wrath, we have this language. Of peals of thunder, sounds and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. That's why many people, in looking at the structure of Revelation, would say that the seals and the trumpets and the bowls are just recapitulations of the same time period, because they all end exactly in the same place with the ultimate judgment upon the earth, the final judgment. But we also see, and there's a lot of truth to that. Certainly, these are the table of contents, and then we have the trumpets, and then we'll have the bowls, and we're going to see that the first four trumpets and the first four bowls just overlap with one another, and it's, we'll see what that content is. But we also see that there's a progression. There's a progression of judgment that comes here. That ultimately we're looking at our Lord's reigning and ruling over all things until ultimately there is that final judgment day coming. And these are all warnings, and these are all calls for people to repent. But we see here that there's a judgment about to take place. And it's going to be poured out upon Old Covenant Israel for their rejection of Christ, as God now comes in Christ and enters into this new covenant that's in the blood and centered in the blood of Jesus. Now, what we see here and what we need to see here is the utter power and the utter importance of prayer. The judgment that will soon be realized in these seven trumpets, actually it'll be six, because always on the seventh one, just like on the seventh seal gives us the seven trumpets. When we get to the seven trumpets, it's going to give us the seven bowls. That's the connection. That's the progress and progression through this. But the importance of prayer, the prayers of the saints that come to the altar, and is added with the incense. Now the angel takes fire from the altar and casts it and throws it down to the earth. There's a judgment coming. Remember in Revelation chapter 1, John gives us time elements, things that are about to take place. Things that are at hand. Again, we've looked at the dating of the book of Revelation. We see that it, believing that the evidence is that it was written probably 66, 68 AD, sometime in that time period, before the destruction of Jerusalem, before the destruction of the temple. And what's being pictured here is the judgment of God upon the Old Covenant and His Old Covenant people. God's saints praying, Lord, how long? Christians that were put to death. Christians that were martyred. How long? The first people to hear this book were people who were suffering under Jewish persecution. And then under Roman persecution with Nero. And God is about to answer that prayer. God answers our prayers. He answers the prayers of His people. And His message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's happening around you. Don't be afraid of what's happening in the world. The Lord hears your. The Lord will protect and guard and keep His people. The Lord will answer your prayers. Prayer isn't meaningless. This world isn't out of control. The world is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's under the reign of Jesus Christ. It is under His power and His wisdom and His love as He's walking in the midst of the lampstands, and everything that happens in history is happening for the good of His church and to work out His plan and His purpose in His church, in His new covenant people, in the church that's built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament. Don't be afraid. When you watch the evening news, don't be afraid. Walking out of the post office Friday, And some guy, I spoke to him, and I don't know him, and he very friendly. He spoke and said hi, and then he said, "Boy, you know," he said, "I just don't know what's going to come of this world." I said, "The Lord is on His throne, and He's reigning, and He's ruling, and everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. He is working all things together for His glory, the good of His church, and to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ." And we see the judgments, and we see what's happening upon the earth, and we see the persecutions. The message is, don't be afraid. The Lord is using all these instruments that we see in those first four seals. We see all the judgments. We see wars. We see rumors and hear rumors of war, and we see famine, and we see death. It's a warning. It's a warning to repent. It's a warning that there's a greater judgment coming. It's calling us to trust in Christ. Everything ultimately will work for the rescue and the vindication of His name and for the good of His church. Well, then, finally, we look at the seven trumpets very quickly. Back to verse 2. "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them." What do trumpets do? I mean, we live in a time when trumpets are for entertainment, for pleasure. You know, at this time, trumpets militarily were used to signal. I mean, that's how you controlled the army. Charge, retreat, come to eat, go to sleep, get up. It was pretty much that way with, in a lot of ways, with the nation of Israel. We won't take the time to turn there, but trumpets announced something. Trumpets declared something. And first of all, they declared the coming of God in splendor and victory. At Mount Sinai, when God had delivered the nation of Israel out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt. Exodus 19, 16 and 19, if you want to look it up, if you're making notes. A trumpet blew, announcing the presence of God on the mountain. That He had called. He had been successful. He had come. He had delivered a people out of the slavery of Egypt and brought them to Himself on Mount Sinai. In Numbers chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, a trumpet sounded to call the nation of Israel into His presence. Whenever He wanted to address the nation of Israel, a trumpet would sound. Leviticus 25, verse 9, a trumpet announced the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, there was the year of Jubilee. If you had sold yourself into slavery because of debt, you were set free. If you had sold your property, it was returned to you. And it was announced by the blowing of a trumpet, the signaling of a trumpet. 1 Kings 1, verse 34. It announced the coronation of a king. Jeremiah 51, verse 27. A trumpet blast announced God's judgment upon Babylon. And we read in Matthew 24 and 31 and 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. It will announce the appearing of Christ. The trump will sound. No doubt, the first people who heard these trumpets, and in their mind, they certainly would have gone back to Joshua chapter 6, where trumpets announced victory for God's people, and it announced judgment upon God's enemies, the theme of the book of Revelation. In Joshua, we see again the first Exodus, God going into Egypt and saving his old covenant people, which was a temporary, unbelieving picture of the true people of God that would come. And he delivered them by his strong hand out of the slavery and out of the bondage of Egypt and brought them to himself, announced it with a trumpet. God delivering his old covenant people from Egypt, and he brought them and was going to take them into the promised land. But here a city stood in the way. Here stood Jericho in the way of God delivering and calling his people into the promised land. Jericho would not repent, 40 years of wandering. So what happened? Joshua, take the people. Get the priests out with seven trumpets before the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, and the people following, the priests and the people following, and go walk around Jericho one time with the trumpets blowing. People, don't say a word. Couldn't have been Baptist. Don't say a word. Every day, second day, same thing. Next day, same thing. The seventh day, walk around the city seven times. And on the seventh time, when the trumpets blow and the people shout, the city is delivered into the hands of God's people. Jericho had been placed under the ban, and you read in chapter 6, verse 21 of Joshua, that every man, woman, and child were killed. They were judged. The book of Revelation is showing us not the old Exodus, but the new Exodus. Not an exodus from physical slavery and physical bondage, but an exodus from the bondage and the slavery of sin and self. Jesus Christ came, died as a substitute upon the cross of Calvary to redeem a people that the Father had given him before the foundation of the earth, made up of every tongue, tribe, kindred, and nation. As we read from Romans, it included people from the nation of Israel, every tongue, every tribe, every kindred, every nation. But there was something standing in the way. There was something persecuting and rejected Christ, and he's crucified, and now the nation of Israel is trying to absorb the church and persecuting the church. And now judgment is about to fall. The trump is about to fall and be blown against God's old covenant people. They stand in the way. And God's judgment is going to fall on the nation of Israel. And Rome then will take up the persecution of the church and trying to destroy the church, and God's judgment will fall upon Rome. And now the world takes up the job of standing in the way of the church and standing in the way of believers and trying to persecute the church and trying to destroy the church. They can't win. And the world can't win any more than Jerusalem could win, any more than Rome could win. One of these days, the world will be judged. When the trumpet sounds and the Lord appears. There's been a new exodus. The old covenant ended. That old covenant people ended when Jesus died upon the cross and the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And that altar of prayers that was right on the other side of it now is directly into the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And we are now in the presence of the Lord. We are now boldly before the throne of grace. We are the new covenant people of God. The old covenant became obsolete. And Hebrews 8 tells us that which is obsolete, in verse 13, is about to disappear. And that's what we're looking at here. The judgment that's about to fall upon the nation of Israel. There's been a new God, there's been a new exodus through the gospel of Jesus Christ. A deliverance from the bondage of sin. A deliverance and a freedom from the guilt of sin. From the power of sin. And one day from the very presence of sin. Are we a part of that exodus? Have by God's grace we been joined to this new people of God, to the family of God, to the body of Christ, to His new bride, to the church? Can we say this morning, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Can we say this morning that we stand and we rejoice and we sing in thanksgiving because by His one offering He has sanctified for all time those who are being sanctified? Do you believe this morning on your behalf at the cross of Calvary Jesus Christ did two things? He purchased two things. He purchased your complete, total forgiveness of sin. And He purchased this radical work of the Holy Spirit that now is shaping you and forming you and conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Bow before His Lordship. In your silence, can you cry, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Let's stand. Father, we thank You this morning for the hope and the assurance and the peace that comes in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the grace that makes us a part of Your new covenant people. The grace that opens hearts and eyes to see Jesus. And now to empower lives to live for the glory of Christ. And again, our prayer would be this morning, if there would be one who's yet to see Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would You be pleased to open that heart right now? And Father, again, as we work our way through this amazing book, we thank You that in silence we can rest in Christ and then join in loud praise the song of redemption. We thank You for prayer. We thank You for individual prayer. Lord, we thank You for the prayer of the church. When Your people come together and pray for and with one another. And Father, we thank You this morning for the new Exodus. We thank You that we now belong to the new covenant. We thank You for that work of the Holy Spirit that is changing and conforming us from the inside out to Your glory. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.